everybody. I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay. Oh my gosh, I almost messed up my hair.
Oh.
Hi.
Well, I'm just spreading like crazy over my hair lately. I need a haircut, Emerson.
Everybody's about to be a little long and crazy.
Is there a YouTube, like how to cut your own hair, you know, or something with kitchen scissors?
The answer is always yes. Is there a YouTube? Yes. Anything you need to know or find, somebody has made a how-to video on YouTube.
Well, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. I've been in a funk this week that I've been trying to shake off a little bit, you know, the Rona just rubbing off a little bit and shaking it off today. How are you?
Wait a second. Tell me about that, Emerson.
I'm going to need a little more sincerity in the performance.
Talk to me. Let me in on that. Because I know that's true, because we write every day together. And yesterday you texted me and you said, I don't feel like writing today. Can we take the day off? And I said, well, who am I to make you create with me, Emerson?
To force you to just enslave you through the computer.
But
I think it's good.
I'm sorry. We're talking to each other. Go.
It's important that we all check in on ourselves. You know, I just needed to sort of look at what was frustrating me and evaluate what parts of it I could do something about and what parts I couldn't. And just sort of like look inward and assess a little bit.
Well, I think not only it reminded me of something, and we had a little texting about this, is that I think we have to pay attention to each other because our mental health is important during this thing. And I do so much business with you. We talk about the show. We talk about, you know, the series we're working on. And then I sometimes forget to say, you know, here on the show, I always, how are you? But you know what I mean on a daily basis? And I feel like we need to reach out to our friends. I told you, I said, you're my friend too. First and foremost, you're my friend. So Emerson, anytime you need to talk, anything at all.
I appreciate it. And before this becomes Emerson's free therapy session, welcome everybody. We've got 90 people already. All of our friends saying hi, Stuart, Erica, Jay Richard, all of our friends. If you're watching the broadcast, please share it on your page, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Periscope. Also, I can see the comments. I figured out how to put them in. When y'all have thoughts, we're going to try popping them into the broadcast a little bit today. So welcome. We're glad to have you. We hope that you're all doing well.
Yes.
And we have a great show.
We have a great show. We always love it. Emerson and I do a lot of events together. And our go-to people always, when they want a sorted live something, we always go to this trio. And we love them so much because, first of all, they're all amazing actors, but they are such good friends that they are beyond friends. They're family to us. And they are allies for our community. And they have been so great. How many gay prides have they been in? So we have Ann Walker Lavanda. We have Newell Alexander Wardell. And we have Rosemary Alexander, Dr. Eve, in the house today. And we are so excited to reunite all of us.
And also, they're our favorites because they're the easiest. They're the funniest. They're the smartest. They're the most delightful company. And y'all, it's just never a trouble. It's never a trial. Would you remember when we dragged Ann Walker all across the country on a very assorted wedding? We did that 6-city tour. And by the end, I think even Ann was like, I love y'all, but I need to go home.
She fell down an escalator in one airport.
Then
we still drug her with was it her foot or her arm that was in a cab? It was her arm, I believe.
We can ask her to reenact it for us, but it was like, you know, I forget, because here's the thing about Anna, Rosemary, and Newell. They have more energy than I do. They're more easygoing than I am. And I forget that, like, they have been around the block several times, parked the car and been around the block again.
So many times they're dizzy.
Like, I'm tired. It's like they've been around the block so many times. It's like that NASCAR. Just 500 laps.
And I love it. They're very open about their ages. Rosemary just turned 79 the other day. And wait till you see how amazing she looks. They all look amazing. And Newell is 80-something. And Anne's in her 70s. And, you know, I'm just chasing right behind them. So we could all shop at Whole Foods together. At that.
Meanwhile, I'm already got a walker at a leisurely pace in the back.
So we're excited to have them, though. That's the point. So shall we get on with some news?
Yes, let's get on to the LGBTQ news and nonsense. That's what I've been calling it lately.
Well, first of all, this first, this first one makes me so giddy because I am in love with Anderson Cooper. I have had many fantasy weddings with him where I am saying my vows. He's smart. He's attractive. He's sexy. I love him. And he had a smackdown the other day. And he doesn't do that often, but every now and then when Anderson has a smackdown, it is amazing. And this was with the Las Vegas mayor. Clashed with Mayor Carolyn Goodman on Wednesday. She declared her desire to reopen the city. And she said, health and safety is our priority. Workers and guests have to be safe. We want people back to work, but it has to be safe and secure. And we don't want workers to be part of an experiment. Workplaces need to be safe and healthy. She said that a few times, not a petri dish. So Anderson asked her how that would be possible managing social distancing. She said, that's their job. That's not the mayor's job. And Anderson said, wow, okay, that's really ignorant. And she declared, this isn't China. This is Las Vegas, Nevada. It ended with Anderson removing his glasses and just massaging his head. It was so brilliant. A couple of things. My daughter texted me today. She had seen it somewhere in Caroline. And she goes, was that mayor drunk? And I said, I don't know. She's 81, though. I did look that up. She's 81 years old and was elected basically because her husband was once the mayor.
I loved that the subtext of Anderson rubbing his face. I always hear this when Anderson gets annoyed. I'm a Vanderbilt, bitches. I really don't need this. Because I love that he went on and made his whole life, his own professional career. He's always stood on his own 2 feet. But he is from one of the great Scion families of American culture, with Gloria as his phenomenal mother. If you haven't read the book that they wrote together, that they did the audiobook of together, you should absolutely listen to it. And it reminded me of the time that Anderson Cooper rolled his eyes at Kellyanne Conway. I have that GIF saved on my phone. Kellyanne Conway's talking and you just see Anderson. It was the biggest eye roll. It was that kind that, like, when you were 14 years old, you gave your parents as you walked away.
Yes, he can give it back. He can really, and with such intelligence. He said bullshit the other day. I can't remember. He said, frankly, that's just bullshit. Love that. Well, today after our show, just so y'all know, Mr. Leslie Jordan is going to be on Anderson Cooper's 360. So at 5 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Eastern time.
And it's a happy hour time, and I'm going to put up this comment from Brent because it reminds me of a story you need to tell. Brent said, hold on while I mix up a Clorox martini.
Oh, Brent, I have to tell you, when that all went down yesterday, and, you know, and first of all, he didn't say injecting. He did not say that. There was a leap. There was a leap. But it was truly like just like, What is he talking about? What is he talking about? But I have to say that not many of you have done this, but I have actually, I drank Clorox once, okay? I drank Clorox once. I had a problem for a while. It was either Ambien related or just subconsciously. I would sleepwalk and eat. And I found myself one night in my laundry room waking up thinking I was drinking orange juice from the refrigerator, but with a bottle of Clorox. And I did not swallow that time. I did
that
not.
Time. That did time. Not. Although I have to say the flavor is not unrelated sometimes.
Oh, Emerson.
You're welcome. All right.
We went right to real gay. Real gay.
I told you at the beginning, real gay. Also, straight ladies can relate. You know, the flavor changes based on the diet.
That's why there's so much spitting involved.
And in other news, on a story that we've been following along about the blood ban as it relates to men who have sex with men, attorney generals from 19 different states and the District of Columbia are urging the federal government to change the policy on blood donations even further, to move the guidelines from just a blanket time period based on categories to more of an individual risk factor based system. And that's even in response to the movement from 2 to 3 months, because there's still a blood shortage. And obviously there's a drop in blood drives because everyone everywhere is under stay at home orders. So it's great that doctors and attorney generals are continuing to push that forward to make men like us able to give blood.
And blood. What is that? Is that what? My phone? I think my phone's too close. Also, in related to that, I was I got a text today from my daughter who keeps me up on a lot of things, and she was saying that Andy Cohen was going off because he is not able to give, even though he's HIV negative, and is not able to give his antibodies to anybody because he's gay and had sex. Good for you, Andy. In the last 3 months.
Yep.
Anyway,
all right, next.
All right, onward. Tiger King nudes is
just
the headline.
Some updates. Important updates.
Update. Joe Exotic's third and current husband, Dylan Passage, he did an interview recently and he said that he has definitely received quite a few nudes from people. And it's just like, keep that to yourself. I already know what a wiener looks like. I don't need to see yours. And Passage explained that he also, there's a blanket sex talk over the jail lines. And he said, obviously, we don't have sex phone calls over his jail stuff. So it's good to know that from this brilliant young man who is beautiful.
I mean, bless his heart. He's the only one that seems to be an actual homosexual that actually wanted to be married to the man, and now the man's in prison. And I thought this just went nicely with that. You know, nothing says American ingenuity, you know, like creating new things and new products in the time of Corona, because now there is a dildo inspired by Joe Exotic. The toy, sold by fetish site Uber Kinky, because I know lots of you want to be able to get out and get this, it comes complete with the Prince Albert, padlock, and piercings down the underside. I will say that the most insane part of that documentary to me was the casual mention of that he has padlocks that were just hanging on the wall that he hangs off the end of his Prince Albert while he's not wearing underwear. The marketing slogans from this company are after my own heart, saying things like, fuck you to Carol Baskin with the Cinnovator Tiger King Realistic Dildo. Or, had some kinky sex like Joe Exotic? Well, the Cinnovator Tiger King Realistic Dildo will open you up to a whole new world of perverted possibilities. And finally, this big chunk of meat will fulfill animalistic instincts and satiate the hungriest of holes. It's available for £85, which is not cheap, but the dildo can be used as a strap-on for all types of people, and 10% of profits will be donated to charity Tiger Watch, with Uber Kinky encouraging users to save the tigers one orgasm at a time. So you can get yourself a Joe Exotic dildo and save the tigers.
It's a giver. They're giving. They're giving back. It's
just thoughtful.
Emma said, on my screen, you got so blurry.
It's just Wi-Fi connection. There's nothing we can do about those things.
Okay. Well, you know, I wish it were me because you can handle a close-up.
Just think of it as an early logo filter, like Drag Race Season 1, softer.
You look like a little like a burn victim on my end. Well, okay, so Zoom is cracking down on sex parties. We all use Zoom. I'm using it to teach, and I just did a Zoom this afternoon, a video conferencing app originally for business meetings and conferences. It's just exploded. Everybody is using it. But now they are cracking down on nudity. Reports that the users have been organizing orgies, sex parties during the quarantine. Internal reports from Zoom claim that over 200 million daily users logged onto the app in March. And a representative from Zoom told Rolling Stone magazine that its user policies explicitly prohibit any obscene, indecent, illegal, or violent activity or context on the platform, meaning that displaying pornography and engaging in sexual acts falls outside of acceptable use policies. And he says we use a mix of tools, including the machine learning, to proactively identify it may just be that accounts may be in that violation. It may just be lip service, because I have to tell you, I went to a workshop recently. It was a self-love workshop on Zoom.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a self-love workshop.
Uh-huh.
There was lots of nudity and lube and sexual things going. I don't identify myself. I keep the camera at a certain place, but it was fun and hot. And during this pandemic, I think Zoom, lighten the fuck up. We need an outlet.
It sounds like the kind of thing they need to say, because it was mostly a business professional meeting. So they need to say the word so that people don't start thinking it's mostly like porn parties, you know, like OnlyFans, which is an app that was originally started for celebrities to connect with their fans with specific content that was quickly taken over primarily to be an outlet for people to post sexy photos and sex videos. So I think they're just doing a little bit like, we know, don't do that, but they're not going to stop it. What are they going to do, scan for penises?
I'm telling you, there's a self-love one later on today, and it has not been canceled. So a tantric workshop. It's a tantric workshop.
I was about to say, the only self-love workshop I ever needed was when I discovered that bottle of lotion in my grandma's bathroom, and I just sort of figured it out, and off we went from there. Like, I didn't need
guidance. To be a part of a community, Emerson, it's just part. You just don't isolate yourself so much. You know, I'm sorry. You can just call so many friends and ask to have FaceTime sex with. It gets awkward. There just aren't that many you feel comfortable. And I mean, you haven't gotten that call.
So Ron, yes, the moral of the story is all the story really told us is that there are Zoom sex parties if you want to go.
Ron, email me at delshores@me.com, and I'm going to give you a meetup group that you need to be a part of if you want to. It's not a sex party. It's a tantric self-love workshop.
There it is. All right. Now, this next story, you know, I feel like it's important to acknowledge when even people we don't like are attempting to do things that are a net positive. That's my preface as I tell this story. So Richard Grenell, who I'm sure many of you know, is the openly gay former ambassador to Germany, who is now the acting director of national intelligence. Now, he suggested in the New York Times recently that the U.S. may stop sharing intelligence information with countries where it is illegal to be gay. He said the intelligence community can do more to push American values abroad. We can't simply make the moral argument and expect others to respond in kind, because telling others that it's the right thing to do doesn't always work. To fight for decriminalization is to fight for basic human rights. If a country we work in, as the United States intelligence community, was arresting women because of their gender, we would absolutely do something about it. Ultimately, the U.S. is safer when our partners respect basic human rights. He went on to say, we have the president's total support. This is an American value, and this is U.S. policy. On Instagram, he went further and said, I'm forming a working group across the intelligence community to look at how we can help combat the criminalization of homosexuality. 69 countries currently will arrest someone for being gay, and in 10 of these countries, they can kill you as a punishment. Now, he is acting in this position, but he said, I plan to use this opportunity to drive lasting impact for the intelligence community, pride community. I'm committed to doing more to detect and respond to all discrimination and harassment within the workforce. I expect every IC agency to ensure policies are specific and deliberate in protecting the LGBT workforce. So that is a positive thing. That is a good thing that Richard Grenell is doing. It does support the idea that they talked about, that the administration, they keep crediting Trump, but he hasn't really said anything, wanting to focus on criminalization of homosexuality around the world. That is a net positive thing. Yeah. That said, Richard Grenell is like full carrying water for Trump, like crazy annoying a lot of the time. But I think we do have to acknowledge, if he succeeds at this, if he really does push this, if this working group gets into place, This is a positive thing for our community. I can admit that.
Yeah, good for you. And good for Brit. I'm glad you brought that story to us. I really am.
Well, and really, and honestly, if he does get, if any of it happens, that is a really positive thing. And I feel like we can't do, you know, painting the broad brush all the time. This is a specifically good thing. And we should support him in that effort.
All right.
That's the best I can do.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you. All right. We have a coming out story. Actor J. Austin Richards. Now, I'm going to admit, I didn't know who he was. I honestly.
That's okay. You don't watch those shows.
I don't. He's known for his work on Buffy, spinoff Angel, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He came out on Instagram Live. He plays a gay character in the NBC drama Council of Dads, and he felt that it was time. He said, if I think about why I even got involved in this industry, it was really to combat oppression. I knew how I was affected by people of color I saw on television or that I didn't see on television. So this being married, a gay man with a family on television, I don't take this lightly. I don't take anything I do lightly. And you have an opportunity to put an image into millions of homes. I wanted that image to be honest and I wanted it to be correct. I knew that I could not portray this gay man honestly without letting you all know that I am a gay man myself. I've never done that with the people I've worked with. That responsibility carried me to this, that because I knew how important it is to other people like this, like me out there, who would need to see me as a role model. And of course, I mean, this is, which I love that it said, of course, in the story, because at one point, thank you. It wasn't always the case that people were met with an avalanche of love and support from fans and co-stars. And he said, he tweeted, yesterday was one of the best days of my life. Thank you. Feel like cheap words to describe the depth of gratitude I feel for all your support and the crushing avalanche of love I felt aimed at me yesterday. For now, thank you will have to do. So good for you, my friend. That's not my friend, and I don't know who you are, but I'm going to look you up now because you have my respect, mad respect.
And I love that so much because, you know, we've talked a lot and we work in a very gay aspect of the industry, but thinking of his journey as a long working actor who is a gay man and a Black man, and that makes his experience in the industry doubly different than even than ours, and that he'd never come out to co-stars before meant he's been working on shows and doing all of these things and having to keep that separate. And we can get into a place where we feel like, oh, we've like done that. We've done these things. And there's places where it is still very hard and where you do still risk. And I loved that he said that ultimately he needed to do it for the authenticity of saying, I love playing this character. I want to be honest in playing it. And I want you, the audience, to know that me, the actor, relates specifically to aspects of him because I also share that with him. And I just think that's brave and beautiful even now.
Well, I have to say, Emerson, one of the things I related to this, and now that we have the co-stars from Sordid Lives here today, when I wrote Sordid Lives, and I, you know, before that I was closeted, I was married, and then all of a sudden I wrote Sordid Lives, I knew that I couldn't put that on stage, that play on stage, without coming out publicly. So we did this article in the LA Times. It was me, Rosemary and Newell, my ex-wife, Newell and Rosemary's daughter, Kelly, and Leslie Jordan. And the name of the article was, Let's Just Get This All Out in the Open. And it was the most freeing, most beautiful thing that I felt. It was that article really, really was important to me.
And Danielle was a fan of him on Angel. So see, people know, and that matters for the fans, which leads me to a very different kind of coming out story. I felt like these went well together. The story of Brock Weston is a 25-year-old Canadian hockey player at Marion University. And he wrote a big essay for Outsports telling his coming out story that happened very recently that boiled down to, like many athletes, he was concerned about how his teammates would take the news, that he had heard a lot of homophobic comments in the locker room through the years that made him feel like he would lose his place in the team and the comfortability with all of them. But he found himself one night throwing his phone and punching a hole in the wall and bawling uncontrollably, and he knew he couldn't live like that any longer. So he told the story to his teammates, and he made 6 requests of them. And I love that, because, like, that's so gay. I came with a list. Here's my requests. that they know he doesn't stare at their naked bodies in the locker room, that he doesn't want to be the subject of slurs or jokes, that he still puts his team before everything else, that they feel free to ask him questions, and finally, that they didn't run around campus telling everyone. And he did say, it went much better than expected. He said, before I could leave, one of the guys I thought might react negatively spoke up and said, hey, Brock, we love you no matter what. I think we all agree, and you're a part of this family, and we have your back. And then everyone got up and bro hugged, and they basically gave him a huge team group hug. But I think it's important we remember that, you know, with all the visibility and all of the great things happening in the advancement of our community and the series finale of Will and Grace last night, there are still people in environments or communities where the coming out process is still scary. And so I feel like it's rewarding to share, particularly people in the world of sports, that people are succeeding in sharing that.
Yeah, sports in the South.
Yep.
I get letters all the time. Every single week I get messages and letters, especially on Facebook, telling me how your performance in Southern Baptist Sissies or that play or that, you know, they just discovered. A lot of people are discovering our work, which I love. During this pandemic, that's the very positive thing about it. It's a lot of young people who I'd never heard from before, you know?
Yes. And so at this moment, we'll pause for a brief commercial break. You know, we do this for fun. We want to give you what's happening and related as it relates to our community and gather together. If you're enjoying the show and you are one of the people who is fortunate financially and stuck at home and want to help support the effort that we're doing as artists, you can send us $1, $5, $1,000 if you just had lots of money in a pile like Scrooge McDuck. You can Venmo us a tip of any size. You know, it's how you use it, not the size. You can tip us at Emerson Collins on Venmo. It's in the ticker below. Or send us PayPal at beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. And I promise I split it with Dell.
You do every week. You send me
I know,
and I appreciate it. And I appreciate anybody who does that for us, and for any of the artists that are out there, because there's so many of our friends, and we'll get to that later on. Who you know, everybody's just shut down. It's not in the entertainment business and lots of businesses. You're just shut down. You can't do what you do.
To be clear, if you cannot, we are just glad that you are here and you can share the broadcast and invite other people to watch. And that is a great gift as well.
Yeah.
I wanted to share two fun new documentaries related to our community that are out. A quick first one is called A Secret Love. It's coming out next week, April the 29th. It's about Terry Donahue, who was one of the players in the Women's Baseball League that inspired the movie A League of Their Own. And that makes my heart so happy. Ah, Marla Hooch, what a hitter. So it's a new documentary from director Chris Bolin, and it shares the story of the decades-long relationship she had with Pat Henschel. The two women spent the majority of their 65 years together in the closet. So the film shows when they met, navigating their professional lives in Chicago, coming out to their conservative families, and then eventually debating whether or not to wed. They describes it as facing the hardships of aging and illness, their love proves resilient as they enter the home stretch. So that'll be out on Netflix next week. The trailer's available, so check that out.
And you know, Emerson, when we were doing this Side of Crazy here in LA, remember Dale Dickey did a series, a new series where that was based on a League of Their Own, or the women of a League of Their Own, and they're actually acknowledging how the lesbian, most of them were lesbian, and I think they hired Estee Lauder to make them less butch.
Oh, Estee Lauder,
Lauder. Yeah, I think that was the one. And anyway, Dell is in that. She completed filming of it, so it's good. And we have one other one. And
hold on, Euro Maestro on Periscope asked, maximum $1,000. No, you can Venmo us all the dollars. We'll put them to good use.
But also in that vein, I was thinking, Emerson, we used to have a sponsor on our show. So if anybody, we're reaching over 5,000 people a week now. So if anybody needs a plug for something and you want to discuss us being sponsoring one of our shows, let us know about that too. And just write me at delshores@me.com and we'll get you some rates. All right. Did we want to give the assignment or
do the story and then we'll do the assignment?
Oh, don't do it with that tone. I heard that tone. I heard that. It was like, that tone was like, we discussed this. Now you don't remember. Okay.
Well,
I'm going to do my story now.
Tell me about it.
I'm going to pout while I do it. Okay. I loved this trailer so much. It's the Circus of Books documentary. And I have had a lot of people asking me already, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Netflix released a new documentary Wednesday from executive producer Ryan Murphy, doing it all, about Circus of Books, the industry of the adult bookstore in West Hollywood, one patron called the center of the gay universe. It's directed by Rachel Mason, about her parents. And Karen and Barry Mason, straight owners. I was blown away. I could not believe this. I've been in there a couple of times in my life. They sought to keep the business a secret from their children and friend circle, though more than three decades of being the country's largest distributor of gay porn. The store shuttered in 2019. I wept. The documentary captures the progress of the LGBTQ movement in LA and the shift to digital, with commentary from Alaska Thunderfuck, a one-time employee. It premiered on Wednesday, and
so we thought we'd try something fun and new that you're welcome to participate in or not. There is a lot of new LGBTQ content that I find as I look for the stories. So we thought it'd be fun on Fridays to pick something that we're both going to watch and share it with you all. And then on the Tuesday show, in the stories, we'll do a discussion where you can comment and we can all sort of talk about what we thought about the thing. So even if you don't like the idea, we're going to do it. So we're going to watch the Circus of Books documentary this weekend. And so if you want to also, then on Tuesday, we'll discuss what we thought of it and you'll be able to participate in the discussion. Does that sound fun? Well, even if it doesn't, we're doing it.
Yes, we are going to do it. I'm excited about that. I like a good discussion.
Yes.
So, all right.
Shall we?
Yes, we shall. Let's get to it, because we have a lot of people wanting to see these folks. We love them so much. I have been working with this trio. I started working with Newell Alexander in 1984. In my very first play, Cheatin', he was in it. And I met Rosemary, his wife at the time. She was our photographer for that play. She went on as his understudy. She then created Evelita and Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will? And then, of course, you all know them when Ann Walker joined the group and Assorted Lives in the play 1996 and then the movie in 2000. I love them all so much. Let's just bring into a rousing, a home applause, Ann Walker, Newell Alexander, and Rosemary Alexander.
Look at all them.
How y'all doing?
Hi, everybody.
We're doing good.
Well, I was just loading this hypodermic needle up here with some Purell.
You keep that going.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Well, now, I love that you're all Lavanda, that you have almost the Lavanda outfit on.
I do. I said it's the 20th anniversary of our original movie, so I want to do that. I want to be as close to Lavanda as I can get.
Well, there's not a lot of difference, in my opinion, of you and Lavanda.
That's very true. And by the way, I broke my little finger when I was falling up an escalator.
That's what it was. You fell up.
Yeah.
Dallas, which is even more impressive.
And I think the first thing that she said to me, I wasn't drinking.
Hadn't had a drink.
This time.
Not even a good excuse. Just
my luggage dragged me back. So I fell back and slid down the escalator. Not pretty.
I watched.
It's happened to almost all of us. Almost. Almost happened more than once. So how are y'all doing, Newell and Rosemary? How are y'all doing during this pandemic? Are y'all hunkering down?
You know, it's not a lot different than our normal lives. We're retired, so we're used to just hanging around the house. But the thing is now, I can't get my nails done.
Yeah.
I can't get my hair cut. I don't have my housekeeper. So I have become, I shop. I make meals, I change beds, Today I took all the flannel and the heavy comforters off and put on a light quilt because it's hot.
Oh my God, I can't believe you had to do that yourself, Rosemary. That is
I'm doing half of that. Please don't let her do that. I'm doing
I still let my lady come. She's lost all of her people. So I'm like only one of two people that, you know, allows her to come. And so we just separate and she just works her butt off. So
paying my lady.
But yes, I was about to say, you know, I hope that all those people that let your cleaner go are paying her, because everybody that pays a cleaner can afford to pay them. And if they need to be safe and stay home, one of the best things you can do is still pay the people that we would normally be paying for services that make our life easier, whether they're doing them or not, so that when this is over, they can still come back and keep doing those things that make our lives easier.
I let my lady double. Anyway.
Look. Terry Pastorelli said, so fun to see you all together. I've missed Anne's political commentary.
Honey, I am screaming at the TV every day. And yesterday was especially a big screamer when he said he was wanting to inject, you know, some.
He did not say inject.
He didn't say inject. He did not say
inject, but he it wasn't much better. No. But It was just a crazy, weird.
Here's the thing.
I hate him so much.
It fell into that category of where if he normally said smart things, there would be room for him to just clarify and say, what I meant was that we could look at, are there things that you can do in people's love? Look at Newell's. Wait, this needs to go real big. Let me show for everybody. Look at Newell's. Newell's at home doing artwork.
Yes, he is. I see it a lot.
No, I have a feeling you could sell that. Mike Lotus, my buddy, like Mike Lotus, Leslie's friend, he wants a piece of your art.
Yeah.
He really wanted to know about just maybe a self portrait in those tidy whities and turban.
I'm doing a rapid sketch now. I'll be doing this while we're talking, and at the end of the show, I'll show it to you.
Okay.
So I have a fun game to play that I thought of, because see, I prepare for this, y'all.
Yes, you do.
What would each of your characters be doing in quarantine? So, like, what would Dr. Eve be doing at home, or how would she be passing the time in quarantine, do you think?
Well, Dr. Eve would be holding Zoom sessions where she was semi-naked and using that to de-homosexualize all those perverts that are her clients.
Oh, yes.
I think Jose Victor Rodriguez, I think absolutely she would make some good progress with him on those Zoom calls.
Yes.
No, and no, she would get in a little trouble on the Zoom calls after that story that we did.
Right. Well,
yeah, because she'd be out there on Zoom with her titties out, and Zoom would be like, Dr. Eve, you can't do that.
but
therapy. It's therapy.
It's medical. It's therapy. Yeah.
Newell, what would Wardell be doing?
Bang up Lavanda.
That's right. They're married now.
That's right.
They get to be together. Oh, I love it.
You know, they live above the bar, so they're down to the pool table to ball.
Now, do we think Juanita would be just quarantined in the bar down below?
Yes.
He would. I think that he would say, just answer the phone. Y'all would at least be calling Juanita behind the liquor shelf. There is a door, Juanita. There's more bourbon. There's more Lone Star. Yeah, I think that would be there.
And somebody's just dropping off pimento cheese sandwiches outside the door for her to eat.
She eats chicken salad too. Lavanda. Lavanda. And I think also that I feel bad now that you've said that our Newell has brought up that Lavanda and Wardell would be just basically fucking during a pandemic. poor old Sissy. She's just all by herself now.
Yeah, yeah. We worry about her.
And don't you feel like Sissy might be relieved for a little bit? Like, Nolita can't come in the house. She can still talk to Vera on the phone when she wants to. I feel like Sissy'd be a little bit like me, where, like, for a week or two, she'd be fine with it.
Yeah, she would. She would, definitely.
Got her TV, and she loves the TV, and she... But when she gets low on cigarettes, it's not going to be pretty.
I know.
Can't you just see her?
Where are y'all looking? Where are you looking at your... Up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to show y'all what I did. Y'all in my home. You know I have a Juanita mannequin. Let's see if I can show it to her. Can y'all see her up here?
Yeah.
Look really closely.
She's a cigarette over the mask.
She's got a mask.
But she's got the cigarette.
That's funny. That's very funny.
Now, Del, Michael asked an important question. Oh, wait, said Nolita would run out of batteries looking for a power socket.
That's true.
Michael said, what would Brother Boy do, Del?
Oh, what would Brother Boy do? Well, first of all, let's think of where he ended up. He ended up back at, we've solved Sissy's problem. Brother Boy is living with Sissy.
Yep.
Very good. Very, very good.
Yes. Brother Boy is living with Sissy. So they're just watching a lot of old movies, a lot of romantic old movies. Betty Davis, you know, Brother Boy's introducing Sissy to every gay movie that ever existed.
Yeah. And she's just loving all the gay community now. I mean, she's like, marching. She's marching.
I did not know that All About Eve had anything gay in it.
But now that Roger and Brother Boy have sort of started a little thing, you think maybe Roger's the one getting the groceries and dropping off cigarettes for Sissy, so he's standing out front six feet away?
Yeah.
I imagine Sissy with a little hole cut in her mask.
It makes me think, you know, I think there was going to be no more sequels or nothing, but maybe a sordid pandemic. I want to know, anybody out there that's watching us, would you like to see a sordid pandemic? It would be so easy to film. You just go from one, it'd be almost like the Lavanda episode when you were on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see that. Oh, I got a job.
What?
During this quarantine, I'm going to play a drag queen's mother. Her name is Jinx something or other.
Monsoon?
Monsoon!
Yeah. It's called God Save the Queens.
Ann Walker, that is very exciting.
It is. And I
love Jinx Monsoon.
Yes, Jinx Monsoon. Yes. God Save the Queens. I'm just so excited. Now all we have to do is get over this so we can all meet up.
Well, have you seen her pictures?
Yes, I looked it up and I said, I look a lot like her.
Yes, it's perfect casting.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank God for my wigs.
Yes.
And was this the first time you put your hair on in a little bit?
Oh, honey, I've got like 3 or 4 inches of white hair underneath this wig. It is the saddest picture ever.
Rosemary, are you glad you finally let the gray come in? Because you made that decision a few years ago. Now can you imagine right now you'd be like down, like, Will, you'd be like Ann Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, instead I have all the length of my hair gray, so.
At least you could do a little tutorial with Newell. Like, you could cut Newell's hair if needed. I bet you could do it. You could.
I have been cutting Newell's hair.
She did, but you have to cut off the last 30 minutes after the haircut.
Because y'all fucking?
No. You know how she would have your hair cut in the back and that whole thing? By the time she finished cutting my hair, I swear to God, I'll...
You don't have to explain.
You know, like Raging Bull. This is like Raging Bullshit.
No, that's the name of your one-man show.
Let me just say, Daniel Schaefer, who wrote in a thing on here, they're the sweetest. From my radio show, there's so many people who are really liking, would love me to be back on. But like you see, I can't put words together as well as I used to. And all I would do is spout hate about this son of a bitch. But anyway, I just want to say thank them, all the fans that we have, no matter where they came from. But I really love all the fans who keep in touch.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, we have a lot. We have fans that have become friends.
Yes.
I mean, look at here, Rex Welton. Hey.
Hello.
To see you all in Winston-Salem October 1st before. Yes, if I were a praying man, I would say, let's ask 3D Jesus to help us there. Please help us, 3D Jesus.
I'm there.
Yeah, we love these film festivals, and we had so many plans to go to so many to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Sordid Lives, and we still hope that that happens. Yeah. But Newell, I was thinking about the other day when everything started falling apart, because I have a foundation now called the Del Fiore Foundation, and y'all are all board members, and we were going to do benefits for the Del Fiore Foundation, which is a mentoring program for LGBTQ writers in the South. And so anyway, it all started falling apart, but I was thinking how Wardell, you know, he still put on that tribute for Peggy. It was just, you know, a couple of years later, because it got sidetracked by Odell getting hit by lightning and wanting to get locked in the liquor closet. So we got a pandemic, you know?
Yeah. And David asked, are we going to see a reset of the dates for the Sordid Lives 20th anniversary screenings? And the answer is yes. You know, we had several planned for the spring. But the great thing about it is we can hold those whenever we want. The movie is timeless, as you all know. So, yes, all the cities that we had to cancel for the spring and the fall, we will get them into the fall or to next year. We will not be skipping anywhere. We were already planning to go.
Yeah, it will be. It may be the 21st anniversary of Sordid Lives, but we will do it.
By the way, I did see on Wednesday night the Circus of Books documentary.
Uh-huh.
I was knocked out. This was a Jewish family. A Jewish yes. family. And I've been in a Jewish family my whole, well, three quarters of my life. And it's just an amazing story with these amazing people. So if anybody wants to have that extra push to see it, it's just great.
Wonderful. Well, good. Well, you got to come watch on Tuesday so you can discuss with us.
Yeah. What is that, Newell? Oh, it's a frog.
Stay home. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, yay. That is great, Newell. Well, I want to get one from you and send it, if you don't mind, and send to my friend Mike. Because he's a big fan and loves your work. And I guess he posted something on Instagram, one of your art pieces, and he just loved it. So. Someone really loved the 3D Jesus, so I'm going to turn him on just so that he can stop the pandemic.
And wherever you're watching, Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, if you have questions for our three dear friends, write them in the comments and I can pass them on to them. And a big thank you to Joe Hooper, who sent us a lovely Venmo a moment ago, our dear friend out here in Palm Springs by me. We do greatly appreciate that. So if you have questions, let us know.
And I want to clear something up. Because the other day I got a message that was, it was just like, how do you not know me? This person said, I saw your broadcast with Emerson, and I saw that you had a picture of Jesus behind you. And I'm so glad that you are a gay Christian and that you still believe. I don't have any problem with anybody who does still believe. I don't. So. Just, I consider myself agnostic, who lives with hope in my heart.
Well said, my friend. Well said.
I got a Instagram from a woman, and their first thing was that she said, "I'm so glad you're a huge fan of mine." And I came back and I said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I was one of the NASCAR queens 3 years ago." And I came back and I said, "Well, I'm Wardell in all the Sordid Lives movies, and you can kiss my ass." Never came back.
I wonder why.
Wow.
Sissy, JD, oh, hi. Said, kiss you all.
JD said they used to have the same 3D Jesus over my mother's piano. I cannot believe this was a thing so many of you had.
Nor can I.
I got this for Christmas one year. We have a tradition in our family, Rosemary and Newell, and years ago, my friend Cassandra's neighbor, white trash neighbor, gave her a stuffed blowfish for her baby, to put over the baby's crib. It was just so inappropriately awful. And she re-gifted it to me as a joke, and then I wrapped it up and put it under the Christmas tree for Rosemary and didn't put who it was from. And Rosemary had to pretend for a full minute that she was excited about this gift. Who gave me this? Oh, it's so great for the patio. And I finally confessed, and that was probably 30 years ago. And every year it is passed on. Somebody else gets the blowfish. So one year, our friend George S. Clinton got the blowfish, who scored Sorted Lives, and he gave me I don't know. That doesn't make sense. He gave me that for something. But he didn't feel the blowfish was enough, so he put that in with the blowfish. That's what he did.
Nice. Yeah. Cal said he was excited to see us in Eureka Springs. And yes, our dear friend Melody Purdy was spearheading that. And don't worry, we will absolutely get back there.
Where is Eureka Springs?
Arkansas.
Oh, my Lord.
It's gorgeous, though. You guys, Eureka Springs is this beautiful gay mecca in the middle of this red state.
Wow.
The LGBT community is thriving there. They have Diversity Weekend two or three times a year. And I went in, the way I started is Melody brought me into headline for Diversity Weekend. And I love that community so much. I've gone and taught writers retreats there. They have a really nice little writers village. And so it's
that
a beautiful.
Makes me very happy. That makes me very happy.
And it's very close to where Walmart is. Fayetteville.
I'm very big in Walmart.
I just saw my calendar. Today was the day we were supposed to fly there.
Oh, I know.
Right. Well, bring the room down, Rosemary.
I was already ways to smuggle marijuana in there.
That's all Newell cares about. Beth Brandt still alive. Yes, Beth Brandt is still alive.
Beth Brandt is alive and well. And
working.
We may have to have Beth on the show one day to prove that. But that does crack me up that you wrote that.
She's always, and she's off, Lord, you know, working 74 jobs. Someone answered it for him, but I just thought it was a cute, you know.
Well, someone, when Sarah Hundley, who is no longer with us, the dear Sarah Hundley who played Juanita, when she passed away, someone on Twitter put RIP Beth Grant. And I was like, no, she's still alive. wrong sorted cast member. Take that tweet down.
I mean, it's hard. It's what we said about the sequel, that we had to get to it or people were going to start dying, you know.
That's so true. And I want to give you notice. If we're doing something else, you better get on it.
Hey, right. If anybody ever goes to heaven for a great deed, Rosemary and I should get it for taking her across the border into Canada.
That is so true. That is so true.
Wow.
Yes.
That was what we did. We propped her up on that bar stool and we fed her the lines. And she, you know, Sarah was, at the end, she wasn't as sharp as she was when she did the series and the movie, the first movie. She was starting to, what's the word I'm looking for?
She's go nuts. Go nuts.
A little bit, but we just loved her. She was, and I do remember that. And when we were shooting the movie, I mean, literally, she was sitting at that with that in that scene with Newell and David and David for Wardell and GW and Odell. And I said, we had the camera pointed at her. I said, Sarah, now look at Wardell. And she goes, which one's Wardell?
Oh.
And I said, Newell. And I said, okay, then look over to David. And she goes, which one's David? I go, well, both of them are David, but look at the David closest to you. Please keep in mind that she did the series with all these people.
Yeah, bless her heart.
She called me Elliot for a decade. You know, it wasn't as she got older. She just didn't bother to care that much along, you know. Which one's David?
A quick story about Sarah. We took her, we accompanied her on the airplane to Canada, and she got to be very, very appreciative. And one day we had to go across the street to a wardrobe fitting. And I realized that she would never be able to walk across the street fast enough to keep from getting hit by a car. So I called Louise Beard, who's producing the show, and Louise, could you come over and drive Sarah across the street? And she said, oh, of course, honey. So we loaded her in the car and took her across the street. And Sarah said, why did it take 5 people to get me across the street? And I said, well, Sarah, could you have walked? And she said, no.
That's it.
Hey, Emerson, do you have time to tell how we almost didn't get her back to the States?
Which part?
The whole
lost passport story?
Story where we had to hire someone to drive her to the United States.
Now, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but
she will be fine with it. We love her. She would love us sharing that we're keeping her memory alive.
So, obviously, to get all of our actors to Canada required everyone having a passport. We brought 20 actors to Canada to shoot a very sort of wedding. I had copies of everyone's passport, helped everyone deal with all the paperwork. And then while we were in Canada, while Sarah was shooting, as it got time for her to go home, she said, I think I lost my passport. And you know, you like when you travel and your parents take your passport so you don't lose it. I was like, we should have done that.
Yeah.
I was like, also, she hasn't been anywhere. She smoked in her hotel room and then she got in the van and then she came to the set. I was like, it's here. She's not out hiking for exercise. So one day while Sarah was in set, I checked her entire dressing room, not there. Checked her coat that she wore on set, not there. She got in the van one morning to go get her makeup to shoot, and Dell and I went and checked her entire hotel room. I lifted the bed, checked underneath. We checked everything, not there. So we finally resolved there's nothing we can do. She can't fly out of the country, but our production manager said, at the border, if you give her paper copy that you have, they will probably let her drive across. So we had to put her in a car with one of our transportation guys who drove her to the border. They called when they got there, and they were like, okay, fine. And he drove her into North Dakota to an airport to get on a plane. Between the time when they hit the border and the city in North Dakota, I get a call from housekeeping at the hotel that said, we found a passport in this person's room. And I said, I need to speak to the cleaner that found it because I need to know where it was. She had tucked it between the sheet and the bed at the foot of the bed with her per diem. So it was a wad of money and her passport stuck in a very safe place at the foot of the bed.
And I called her when she got home in about 5 hours. And I said, Sarah, we found your passport. She goes, well, where was it? And I said, well, it was between the sheet and the mattress at the end of the bed. And she goes, oh, that's right. That's where I put it.
It was never a dull moment.
It cost us thousands to get her home.
Yeah. Well, like thousands of extra dollars to take care of it. Worth every penny.
But we loved her and love her and love her, love her, love her. So anyway, well, we have, God, here, I hope that everybody who is watching can see how much joy we give to each other and feed off of this trio. Y'all are my heart, my family. I love you so much. I get emotional saying that, but I miss you. And someday soon, we're going to be sitting at my table. I'm going to be making Ann Walker a martini, very strong. Well, no, basically Ann Walker just drinks vodka. And I said, what are you mixing with? And she goes, ice. So that's what, and I will make some chicken livers because two people right there Oh. We'll keep them with me, yes. Oh. And Newell, you and I will step out and we'll smoke a little marijuana.
A little.
And Emerson, you and Blake be here. We'll just have a dinner party right here at my house. I love you guys so much. Thanks for being with us today.
But y'all just stay with us. We'll wrap it up all together because this is like family. If you're enjoying the broadcast and enjoy what we do and you can afford to throw us a dollar or five, you can Venmo at Emerson Collins or send us PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. If you can't, we're just glad you're here. What you can do is, once we're done, share the broadcast with your friends. Tell them to tune in with us next week. Coming up this weekend on Sunday, Levi Christ is doing a very special All Del Shores live at 5. Music from all of Del's movies and plays and things.
Wow.
It's here. Check that out. It's gospel music, yeah.
And for our homework assignment, watch the Circus of Books documentary on Netflix.
That is also a great movie.
And remember, Debbie Holiday is always entertaining us at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. Newell, I would like you to come back maybe Monday and read another story on my Sordid Bedtime Stories. I would love you to be back. And next Tuesday, we are going to be talking about the big Queerest Folk reunion. And my good friend Scott Lowell is going to be our guest. I'm so excited about that. I did a Zoom with all the writers today that's going to be a part of that special that will benefit LGBT centers all over the country. And I'm very excited to be a part of that because a lot of organizations are suffering right now. So y'all stay in, stay safe. We love you. And we love that we got to reboot our show and bring back some of our favorite people today. Thank y'all for being our guests.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.